T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mike DeCorsick talking college hoops with Mully and Haugh. Sporting News college hoops columnist. Big Ten Network studio analyst. He's a Liverpool supporter, but we let him on anyways. Mike DeCorsick with Mully and Haugh on 670 The Score.
Welcome back. Mully and Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dan Weider in for Mully today. Time now to go out to our guest hotline sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Mike DeCorsi. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
Doing well. Dan Weider in for Mully today. We're enjoying talking about what happened last night. Mike, you had one, obviously four very good games, a couple, one that weren't as great as the other two. Instant classics when you talk about what Kansas State did, and then we saw Gonzaga hit the shot with 7 seconds left. How would you describe what stood out most to you last night?
Oh, I think what I would describe what stood out most to me is 5'8", 160 pounds with the confidence to fill at least Madison Square Garden, if not well beyond into the island of Manhattan. Marquise Noel was just ridiculously good again. He's been the best player by a significant margin in this tournament. He was fabulous on Sunday against Kentucky. I think we could fill the rest of my segment just by arguing, was he better against Kentucky by scoring 23 in the second half, or was he better last night by setting the all-time record for assists in a NCAA tournament game while playing almost half the game on one leg? I think that that's a pretty good debate to have.
Mike, it's great to talk to you. I'll let you continue down the Marquise Noel path here. You've obviously been dancing this dance inside the NCAA tournament for a long time. How do you describe your appreciation level when a guy gets on a heater like this and does what he does with the fearlessness he has on a stage like this at this time of year?
Well, I think that one of the things that it says is how much different the conference play is from the NCAA tournament and why certain players are able to stand out and shine, because Marquise has been in the Big 12 now for 2 years, and he was a fabulous player this past season and a very good player in 2022. But he wasn't this because league teams get a book on you and they sort of understand, okay, we know we have to stop Marquise or we're done. So let's do this, that, and the other thing, and maybe we have a chance at containing him. And he was good enough, one of the 15 best players in college basketball this season, to make third-team All-American for the Sporting News. So it wasn't that he wasn't terrific, but he wasn't this on a regular basis. Back-to-back games where he just completely destroyed two very good teams, almost on his own. Now, he had much more help last night. They had multiple players who were playing at a really high level last night. Against Kentucky, it was almost a solo deal. He was almost out there by himself, and Jerome Tang acknowledged that to me in his conversation with me, that he needed to have Marquise be that player in the second half against Kentucky, or they weren't going to win. The great job that Jacob Toppin did on Keontae Johnson in that game until he got into foul trouble was a difference maker. Michigan State had no good matchup for Keontae. They tried to use A.J. Hogard. A.J. Was not used to defending an elite wing player like Keontae, so he struggled with the movement, including on the play that has been the one that's gained the most attention, the fake argument and then the lob to the rim that basically put K-State ahead for good. Hogard was up the line, was really paying very little attention to Keontae in the corner and just completely fixated on what Marquise might be able to do with the ball. And so he got backdoored by – it was the easiest backdoor cut that Keontae's ever run, and maybe one of the easiest finishes for a guy who can jump like him, even though it was spectacular over the head and all that. It wasn't that tough a play for him because he was essentially unguarded. It was as if he were in practice with Keontae and there was nobody else in the gym.
Yeah.
And after that instant classic, Mike, Gonzaga and UCLA, another game that lives up to the hype, and it decided Julian Strother hits the three with 7.2 seconds left, and back and forth, wild game. UCLA gave up the lead, Gonzaga hitting its stride. You wonder what that does to the confidence of that group and now how dangerous they become after having survived UCLA and advancing now, because this could be that game that steals them in a way that we've seen happen before. But what do you think is ahead for Gonzaga now, and what do you think of that game?
Well, I thought that the game was tremendous, and I give UCLA a ton of credit for not giving up on a game in which they were essentially out of it with a minute and change left, and they managed to take the lead. A phenomenal effort there. UCLA was, I remember back in February and listening to different things and watching different shows and hearing people talk about them as a championship contender, and I was like, really? Do you not have to be able to score more consistently than this team does? I knew that they were prone to droughts, and that was exacerbated by the absence of two starters, but it wasn't really – that wasn't – they always had those droughts, even before Dembona hurt his shoulder and Jalen Clark blew his Achilles. They still had those droughts. They always did. So it wasn't surprising that they had one against Gonzaga. It was surprising that it was as protracted as it was, especially against a team that isn't a great defensive team. And what's going to be interesting on Saturday is how well UConn played. It's easily forgotten because we saw two fantastic games and one pretty good game in Florida Atlantic beating Tennessee. And then UConn's game against Arkansas was an absolute it was an absolute blowout. It was they were tremendous, and so the game is forgotten. But the team that played the best on Thursday night was the Huskies. They were tremendous. Now, do they come out and do the same things? They should, because they're playing against an even lesser defense than the one they played last night. As good as Gonzaga is, they are not a great defensive team. With what Adama Sanogo and Donovan Klingon can do in the post, they should be wearing out Drew Timmy. Suspect defense. They should be doing that. They should be able to get Andre Jackson going and the various perimeter shooters that they have, Caravan, et cetera. They should be able to do well offensively against Gonzaga. They're going to have to guard their tails off because Gonzaga's offense isn't going anywhere but forward. But UConn enters that game as the better team, the more complete team. And it's just a question of being the most consistent team. That's where UConn has really struggled this year.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier, Mike, their ability last night to win that game in essentially 8 minutes, and it was over from there. I'm curious where you are tonight. Do you see similar potential for Alabama to put a stranglehold on that game right away and sort of have the same stress-free experience?
They could, Dan, but the difference is that San Diego State is a really effective defensive team. And when probably the most similar team they play that Alabama played to date was Tennessee, which wants to make it a not fun night for you and did for the first 25 minutes or so of the Florida Atlantic game last night, but wasn't able to sustain it. They want to make it miserable. And Alabama wants to have fun, so to speak, playing hoops. I mean, they want to enjoy. They want their guys to be going up and down. They want to be attacking. And if you make it hard for them, maybe you can knock them off their stride. I don't anticipate that. I don't think it's going to be a tough game for Alabama. It just there's that, you know, the reason that there's a line in Vegas, right, is that percentage chance that San Diego State can have a great night and get done what they want to get done. I think it exists, but I don't expect it. I think Alabama has played really well to this point. The only team that's played in their stratosphere, so to speak, in this tournament has been UConn. And I think it continues at least tonight before we see whether, you know, who they might face, who they might challenge in the South Region final. If it's Creighton, then I think we're talking about a team that might have a chance to look Alabama in the eye.
All right, Mike. So the other game, we have adopted Princeton, and it's a local story. Mitch Henderson obviously grew up, went to high school at Culver Military Academy in Northern Indiana. We have Caden Pierce, the Ivy League Freshman of the Year, and Blake Peters, who's still enjoying his 15 minutes of fame after hitting all those threes. He's from Evanston, by the way. So we're clad in orange here. We're pulling for Princeton, but Creighton's tough. They come from a league that's enjoying this tournament very much. And I just wonder, can you see any scenario? It's March, so of course there is a scenario. But what do you think is ahead for the Princeton Tigers?
Well, I think the scenario is as simple as Creighton has played really well through two tournament games. This is the Creighton that we've been waiting for since last, really, since, if you do it the way we do it now, where we do these, what we call the way too early top 25, where you project, you have to project who's going to stay and who might transfer in and whether all the signed recruits will show up and be effective. And my preseason top, my way too early top 25 didn't do that badly a year ago. I had a bunch of Sweet 16 teams and others that did well. But so we've been waiting all the way since technically last April when we suggested that Creighton was a top 10, top 12 team. But early in the year, Ryan Kalkbrenner got sick with mono, and that affected them, and they had a six-game losing streak. And then they started to get together and started to look like the Creighton team we thought they'd be. And then they hit mid to late February, and they were back to being a struggling team again. And Ryan Nemhard, the point guard, started to have a really rough run of games, and that really affected the entire unit. And so I don't know for certain that Creighton we saw last weekend is going to show up tonight. If they do, I think Princeton's ability to win the game is seriously diminished. The two teams that the Tigers took out, Arizona and over the weekend Missouri, are not as good as A-level Creighton. But I can't guarantee that team shows up again. So I think probably the biggest key for Princeton is to make it a tough night for Nemhard. Really get into him, try to stay in front of him. Make it hard for him, because when he doesn't play well, that Blue Jays team doesn't do as well.
I think I heard that there's a chance, Mike. That's all.
Yeah,
I heard.
Exactly.
That's great.
Of course.
That's all you need. It's March. Mike, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Look forward to your coverage and look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, guys. I'll look forward to it as well.
Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Network and the Sporting News. Great perspective and a great breakdown of tonight's potential matchup. Potential upset, should I say, of Creighton and Princeton with the Tigers, a 15 seed.
As Mike was talking, I think I saw you on Amazon actually ordering official Princeton gear.
I'm not wearing it today because it was hard to find on short notice in the Chicagoland area. But if they win, we will be better prepared next week if they're in the Final Four. What a story that would be. You know what another great story was this week, last week, this season in college basketball? Northwestern. And we will talk to Northwestern's coach Chris Collins next. It's Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.